The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 73 of Wealth Talk. My name's Christian Rodwell, the membership director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again.
Here we are back again, rolling on from last week's episode, which was focus on leverage. And this week, we've got two members from our community who will be sharing how they made the most of that time. And it's very interesting. Both have different approaches, different pillars, but both very much seeing the opportunity that presented itself to them.
Too right. And, you know, talk about leveraging the lockdown, seeing the light, sort of seeing the darkness at the end of the tunnel. They saw the light, but it was from a different tunnel, didn't they? They saw different solutions. And it always reminds me of that quote, which we use several times, Chris, in these podcasts, probably the third time I'll get an airing, which is it's the same wind that blows on us all, but it's the set of the sail that makes the difference. And boy, have these guys set their sail. So both in very different ways. And of course, we could have picked many of our community, many of our students, Chris, but we picked a couple because I think they've done something very different in remarkable different ways.
They have, and both so much to share. So let's head on to the interviews now. So first up, we'll hear from founder member Louise Wrighton and then Gary Soltis. Louise, welcome back to Wealth Talk.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you for inviting me. Always good to be here.
Yeah, I was just checking back, actually, and it was Wealth Talk 25, and that was back in July 2019 when you were last on, and it was just a couple of months after you had joined as one of our founder members, and you were sharing all of the things that you'd got up to, and you had really kind of come out firing from the beginning, Louise. And one of the things that you were doing only just over a year ago was setting up your SaaS. And so I want to find out all about the whirlwind journey. And of course, we're looking at lockdown and how people have leveraged their time. But take us back to that moment and when you were in the process of setting up your SaaS, Louise, and tell us what's happened since then.
Yeah. Gosh, it seems like yesterday, Chris. Can't believe it's well over a year ago. But I joined the program in, I think it was probably May 2019. I was in the process of setting up my SaaS then, or I think in the final decision making. I made my application to HMRC. I got a pretty fast approval of that. It was very smooth. And then I think from memory, I'm working from memory, I had an approval from HMRC in the September time. And then from there, of course, it becomes more challenging because then it's about pension fund transfers. So I was making a transfer of a final salary or defined benefit pension from a company that I'd worked for the first half of my career, actually. So it was quite a significant transfer to be making. So from the September, I then went into taking IFA advice, independent financial advisor advice, which you have to do if you're transferring this type of pension. And that went on up until sort of Christmas time. Then all of that went into the pension fund provider to make the request to basically release that that pension into my new SaaS. And so it was February, actually, literally just prior to lockdown starting, that I actually got my SaaS funded. And I'd been working really hard, actually, from the time we last spoke, thinking about how I was going to invest it, you know, coming up with my business plan for my SaaS, and, you know, making sure I was ready when that transfer happened, that I would be in a position to invest, because I didn't want to be sitting on that pot and then going, what am I going to do with it? You know, because it would then obviously start eroding from that point. So, worked really hard from sort of that summer through to the February, just prior to lockdown. And then when I got the money, I was ready to press the button. So I started to make then a series of investments from my SaaS. And I got about half of it invested pretty quickly over a couple of months, actually, because I'd done my prep work.
Yeah, so that's a good point, because of course at the heart of the wealth building process is the wheel of wealth. And you know, obviously the five stages, always education and then support and connection, due diligence. And I know that obviously you follow that process. And
absolutely.
In terms of the education, you know, when did that whole process of even discovering about SaaS begin?
That was probably about a year before, actually, because, you know, it took me a while to learn about SaaS and to get comfortable with the idea. I saw the opportunity immediately, Chris. I saw that this was, you know, what I was looking for to accelerate my wealth building journey. And I saw the positives and the benefits. And I had to really, I wanted to really rein myself in and just do that, you know, that education, that sort of, you know, the support, turn the wheel, really do the due diligence. And so I did take my time to, you know, really understand what was involved and whether it was going to be right for me. And then critically, you know, how much time would be needed to be a SaaS trustee, you know, that, and that's not to be underestimated. And then I, you know, I needed to get comfortable with how I was going to invest it and how I was going to leverage it, you know, all before I made the decision. So, you know, there was a lot of education involved. I joined the SaaS Alliance at its inception, actually. I always say I was in the right place at the right time, and I made fantastic connections. So Kevin actually introduced me to the concept of SaaS Alliance, as that was just starting up. I was fortunate enough to be, as I say, hitting that at the right time. So I was at the launch conference in London in April 2019, got more connection, more education. Mark had launched his book around that time. I think he launched it the following month. So I got SaaS Pensions book and read that. And then, you know, just really started to go to as many SaaS Alliance meetings and networking meetings as I could. And I continued that right up until, you know, we were stopped by lockdown. So I was a founder member of SaaS Alliance and then a founder member of a couple of the local networking groups as well, all of which was part of turning the wheel right. I did the education. I got the support. You know, it helped me to do the due diligence as well. So that when that money landed, as I say, I was ready to press the buttons and confident that I was doing the right thing, and I knew what I wanted to do with it.
Yeah. And we're using a bit of wealth building language here with wheels and pillars. So anyone listening who is not sure, we'll definitely point you back to some of the earlier episodes where we explain the wealth building principles. But you mentioned Mark there. So that's Mark Stokes, founder of SaaS Alliance.
That's right. Yeah. Mark Stokes, founder of SaaS Alliance. So yeah, Mark wrote a book called SaaS Pensions in middle of 2019. It was published. So anyone interested in SaaS who's not picked up that book needs to pick up that book immediately from Amazon. And while you're there, you can pop on and order a brand new book that I've co-authored with Mark called SaaS Superstars: How 10 Entrepreneurs Unlock Their Pensions Without Waiting to Retire. So I approached Mark in the summer of last year, you know, as I was going on my education and support and connection journey around SaaS. I said, Mark, I love your book, and I think it needs a sister publication, which is sort of practical case studies, because I found as I was networking in the SaaS community that people were saying, I've read the book, you know, I'm doing some of the education, but, you know, what are you doing with your SaaS? You know, I want to see what people are doing. You know, we need some sort of real life case studies to sort of get inspiration from and to get ideas from. So I was conscious that there was always, you know, what are you doing with yours? What are you doing with yours? So I thought, well, I'm asking the same question. And I was identifying and zeroing in on people that I thought were really, you know, credible and, you know, great trustees that I wanted to learn from. And I thought, well, while I'm educating myself and making these connections, I can, you know, I could write this, you know, I mean, I'm effectively interviewing people. I'm having networking meetings. Why don't I make a book from this? So that's what I did. I approached Mark, and another one of the pillars, of course, the wealth building pillars, is JVs, joint ventures. And so Mark and I did a true joint venture in co-producing the book, and I've just finished writing it over the last month or so, and we're literally just publishing this week on Amazon. So yeah, that's the story there, Chris.
Yeah. So in one fell swoop, there was a JV and some IP in yes. one go, which is great. And I know you also tapped into pillar one, which is home equity. And also a lodger that you have, right?
That's right. So, my first move was home equity, so release some money from the family home to buy a buy to let, and then also we used home capacity by bringing a lodger into our family home, which has been fantastic for us. So that pillar ticked. Then moved on to pensions. Got my SAS set up. Got my pension transfer set up. Got confident, you know, to make the investments that I wanted to make. So that was a tick. And then went to the IP pillar, and I suppose IP stroke JV pillar, which is where Mark and I co-produced the book. As I say, I probably spent almost a year writing it, but I'm really pleased with how it's turned out, and I think there's plenty there for people to learn from, whether they are thinking about becoming a SAS trustee or whether they're already, you know, I've got huge demand from, you know, from the existing sort of SAS Alliance community, people, you know, that are existing trustees saying, I really still want to learn, you know, from people. We're all on a learning journey together, really, which is a nice aspect of the SAS community, actually. I think even if people have been trustees for, you know, a number of years, because there's been so little education and so little content and material out there about SAS, that people are still hungry, you know, for that education and those case studies and examples. So I think the book has very broad appeal. So I hope everyone enjoys reading it and learns something too.
They sure will. And how exactly did you leverage your time during that lockdown period, Louise? Because, mm-hmm. you know, that really helped accelerate, you know, the writing process for you, I know, and you had deadlines to hit.
Yeah, I did. I have to say, I just saw lockdown immediately as a gift. And as a family, we actually went into a voluntary lockdown about 2 weeks earlier than the rest of the country. We just decided we felt it was the right time to sort of isolate ourselves. And so we took the children out of school a couple of weeks earlier than you know, everyone else leaving. So I kind of had a bit more of a run into it. It wasn't too much of a shock. But yeah, I set myself, I just said to myself immediately, I knew that we were doing this as a family. You know, this is a time for hyper-focus. So that word hyper-focus was kind of, you know, my sort of buzzword, really, or my motto for the time. And that's what I did. And I just decided I was setting some goals and I was going to deliver them. So I actually set myself three key goals. I set some goals around health, some goals around my wealth, and then the goals around the IP pillar and finishing my book. So I developed some new habits around health by getting into a health accountability group, you know, really set some new habits around walking 12,000 steps a day. The added benefit for that was I became a podcast junkie. I had about 2 hours a day to listen to self-development podcasts. So I really leveraged that time as well. So, I hit my health goals. I've developed some new habits there around fitness, and I went teetotal, start tracking food. I lost about 8 pounds, which I was really happy with. I thought, I'm going to swim against the tide. Everyone else is just going into eating and sort of drinking gin, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go the other way, because that's kind of me anyway. So I did that around my wealth. My goals around my wealth were around absolutely getting my SAS invested, and I leveraged my buddy group, my Seven Steps to Wealth buddy group, to do that. We were all at a similar stage in our SAS journey with similar goals, but we have very complementary wealth dynamics. So we actually organised ourselves to say, you know, Louise, you do this, Richard, you do this, Adnan, Marty, these are your roles. We actually worked together to assess investments, and then we made the same investments, having decided as a group that they were good investments. So we, you know, really leveraged that collaboration. And I think the lockdown just gave us focus. So we talked to each other every week, actually, and just, you know, checked in and got that job done. And then I think, the accountability sort of really helped me as well. And then, yeah, finally, that my third goal was absolutely around finishing my book. The lockdown, again, it just gave me that hyper focus, and I was able to, you know, just carve out time every day to do that writing and you know, just to really push myself over the finishing line. It was hard work, Chris, and I know you've written a book and you know how hard it is to get it done and to get it over the finish line. I'd pretty much finished that towards the end of lockdown, and as we came out, it was just a matter of, you know, checking it, proofreading it, quality controlling it, which is what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and with so much going on, I don't know if you have a second ever to actually just look back and see how far you've come in really a short space of time, Louise. I mean, how does it make you feel now to know that you've got these pillars in place?
Yeah, I feel good. I'm 100% more confident than I was sort of at the start of the programme and, you know, 100% more confident than I was probably 6 months ago, really. And, you know, I put it down to turning the wheel. So when I first joined the programme, it's kind of like I'm turning the wheel. OK, I see the theory of that. It's sort of, it's neat. It's a bit of, you know, it's a bit of jargon or, you know, a bit of marketing or whatever. But actually, as I've done it, I've realised, you know, the power of that. And a big learning for me, and Kevin always says this, turn one wheel at a time, choose one and turn it the full turn. And I was guilty probably the first 6 months that I was trying to write the book. I was trying to turn the IP pillar. I was turning the home capacity pillar. I was turning the property pillar. I was wheel. I was turning the pensions wheel, and I was doing a lot at the same time. And it's not the way forward. So, when I was able to tick off, you know, I've done the property, I've done the home capacity, I've done the pensions, then I was able to really focus on the IP and turn that wheel properly, you know, and finish my book. And I think, you know, through everything, that's been a really key learning for me is choose one and turn it fully, which is what Kevin teaches us. And now I've done it. I see the power of that. So now I believe it.
Well, there you go. You've heard it from even Superwoman needs to turn one wheel at a time, right?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Louise, just remind everyone of the date that the book is out and the name again for those that might want to pick up a copy.
Absolutely. So we are live in Amazon now for pre-orders, actually, but the book will be published officially on the 11th of September. It's called SaaS Superstars, How 10 Entrepreneurs Unlock Their Pensions Without Waiting to Retire. But all you need to remember is SaaS Superstars. The authors are myself, Louise Wrighton, and Mark Stokes. And we're in Amazon now. So, yeah. I hope everyone will pick up a copy, read it, and I'd love to hear feedback. And I hope people enjoy it and learn something.
We'll definitely share that to the Wealth Builders community for you as well, Louise. Great to have you on today. And as always, great to hear all of the wonderful things that you're up to.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the opportunity. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Gary, a very warm welcome to Wealth Talk.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be on. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, so please just introduce yourself to our listeners, Gary, and tell us a little bit about, you know, your business.
Well, I'm Gary Saltis, and I'm married to the wonderful wife, Jane. And we decided that we would, a few years ago, change our lifestyle, and we would sell our businesses. And we've bought a holiday complex in West Wales.
Fantastic. And what was your first interaction with Wealth Builders, Gary? How did that come about?
Well, that was about 3 years ago when we linked up with Kevin, and we were looking at our SaaS and looking at setting up a SaaS. So that was a sort of opening a door for us in terms of opportunities and looking at wealth in a very sort of structured way and looking at opportunities to grow our business as well alongside it.
Great. So we're looking today specifically at how some of our members have managed their time during the lockdown period, Gary. So tell us, how did that affect you and your business? And what did you do to try and, you know, put an entrepreneurial spin on things?
Yes, well, I think it made everybody focus their minds in a slightly different way. In our case, we just bought this farmhouse in West Wales. And alongside the farmhouse, we have a cluster of holiday cottages, three holiday cottages, and we also have a CL caravan site, which is just for five pitches. And all of a sudden, we had a situation on the 23rd of March where we couldn't invite any guests. So from the 23rd of March through to the 11th of July, we had no visitors at all, no Easter, no bank holiday trade, and it presented a big challenge. However, we looked at that as an opportunity as well, and we developed what we sort of called a lockdown strategy, where we said, well, how can we use our downtime productively to optimize and grow the business and increase future income streams from the assets we already own? And there are three strands that we looked at. Firstly, we looked at how can we create additional occupancy from the land and the buildings that we currently have, and that included derelict buildings on the farm, and also how can we enhance the future experience of guests through updates and improvements of buildings and facilities, and finally, how we can actually reach out to other market sectors and audiences. So as and when lockdown is released, what can we look at as future opportunities to grow into, which we haven't previously been able to enter? So very much looking to maximize income generation from our existing assets. And I can go through a few bit of the details of that, Chris, if you like, and put a little bit more detail on what we've actually done.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
Okay, so in terms of additional occupancy, we bought the farmhouse, as I say, 3 years ago, and part of the farm complex included the old original 17th century farmhouse, or 18th century, I should say, farmhouse built in 1752 and never been used for accommodation. So we took it upon ourselves to bring our building team in and use lockdown in a very sort of controlled way with social distancing, which is an interesting one for builders, but they managed it. Took longer, but it was well worth it. And we've restored the cottage as a bolt hole for two people. So it's a place where people can come and have a long weekend and escape city life and just enjoy a place to relax. And we've done that using local materials, restored materials, lime mortar. So it's been a great learning experience for us as well. So that's an opportunity that we saw while people weren't on site to be able to create another sort of opportunity for income. And that's going to be going live on our website fairly soon. So that's a great sort of, we wouldn't have done it if we had people on site, because with building work, obviously you can't do that kind of thing when you've got a lot of people milling around. We also looked at enhancing future experience for our guests, and infrastructure was one thing that we looked at. And the first thing was expanding our broadband service to all of our cottages and also to our certified location caravan site. So that we can now confidently say that we have fast fiber broadband connection to all of our holiday lets, and you know, maximizing the opportunity for home working. And there's been a big increase in demand for that. It's often the first question that people have been asking when they've been booking a holiday for the latter part of this year.
So interesting.
People have changed the way that they're thinking about holiday lets and where they can go and do perhaps a bit of peaceful work. And another thing that we've done, not very exciting, but we've actually brought a new three-phase power supply into the farm, which may not rock many people's boats, but it's actually an essential aspect of future-proofing the business at Kleinbrand, and it allows future expansion to accommodate further buildings within the cluster and provides greater security of supply for present and future guests as well. So these things are all disruptive, physically disruptive things, digging trenches, that kind of thing, which you don't have the opportunity to do in a normal year. So in a very perverse way, lockdown has enabled us to do that. And with a building team on site, we also decided to build a separate toilet and shower block for the caravan park, which that now enables us to separate and segregate the campsite people from the holiday let people. So it both benefit from an enhanced experience in the future. So there's been a lot going on, I think it's fair to say, physically on site. And then in terms of our own market audiences, we've reached out to Visit Wales, who are the government body for promoting tourism in Wales. And it's quite interesting, lockdown did reveal quite a few civil servants and people in offices who were delighted to speak to people. So it's a great opportunity to get a little bit of education ourselves and pick the brains of people who are in the know and actually make use of their time to understand how they work and how we can then develop markets, perhaps in some form of joint venture with them in the future. So it's really looking at those opportunities and building on them to build a target market and develop a location where people can feel comfortable to remotely work and actually come and enjoy a bit of sunshine. Yes, it does. There is sunshine in Wales. I don't know. A bit of coastal experience and countryside.
That's great. And you now have visitors returning back to the holiday park, Gary?
We do. The second half of the year is looking very strong. The direct bookings as well that we've received have increased, which is great because we can reduce our overheads in terms of our agency fees. And we've got a pretty good booking complement for next year as well. A lot of people are looking forward to 2021 and are thinking, you know what? I think we're going to stay in the UK and do another staycation next year. But I think a lot of people are looking for that security and knowing that they can go somewhere where they can, if they have to work, they can do. They've got good broadband and they can also go and do a spot of kayaking or go do a bit of coastal walking or go and do some dolphin spotting, whatever they like to do. So yeah, it's lockdown has, I think it's allowed us to do a lot of things which we wouldn't otherwise have been able to do. We are fortunate, we understand that. We were locked down in 16 acres, which is great. You know, being able to take a walk down to the coast, and a lot of people have been less fortunate than us in that respect. But we're hoping that we can now repay the patience that a lot of our guests have shown us and welcome them back with open arms.
Well, well done for bouncing back in a strong way and even stronger than before by the sounds of it, Gary.
I hope so.
Thanks for being a great guest on Wealth Talk today.
Thank you, Chris. Look forward to speaking again in the future.
So good listening to Louise and Gary share what they got up to. And both of them, interestingly, had a lockdown strategy. Louise with her health, wealth, and getting her book written. Gary, again, with three things that he wanted to achieve and that he did.
Well, I think it's fascinating. Well, if you think about Louise, she did a pre-COVID strategy, didn't she? She was early into lockdown and not just, you know, anticipating it, but seeing it as a real opportunity to take time. And, you know, I think you mentioned health, wealth, and book, but also was health, wealth, and family, wasn't it? She saw, you know, took the kids out of school, definitely saw this as an opportunity to bond together as a family and to kind of create the whole experience, not just to help her wealth, but do so with the family being part of the plan, which I think is brilliant.
And Louise talked about, obviously, our core process of generating recurring income from assets, which is turning the wheel of wealth. And we know there's five steps in the wheel of wealth: education, support, connection, due diligence, and then guided action. And it was a year, actually, Louise said, from discovering about SaaS to actually turning the wheel on it, understanding it, speaking to others, doing her due diligence before she actually got set up. And then another year later, she's now written the book about it.
Well, I mean, as she said herself, when she looks back, you know, just flown by, although a year sounds like a long time, you know, it's flown by. But if anybody kept track of what Louise has been doing, you know, she's been a powerhouse, hasn't she, in all sorts of ways. But just to, you know, to see that, I was literally a few weeks ago, Chris, playing golf, and somebody said on the golf course, people either getting kind of hunky or drunky, you know, when they come off out of COVID. But she decided not to be drunky, not to get hunky, but to slim down. And, you know, she definitely chose a different reaction. She knew that lockdown could cause problems. And, you know, she's lost body weight and very proud of what she's achieved there as well. So all sorts of things she's done. So, yeah, very pleased with Louise. The thing I'm most pleased about Louise, if I look back, is a little bit of humility there. She's done a lot, but she said, you know, when she talked about the Wheel of Wealth, and maybe, Chris, because the Wheel of Wealth is such an important part of the Wealth Builder process, maybe you could link back to the show notes when we did that episode. Would that be all right?
Yeah, I'll stick that in today's show notes.
Good man. And she said, well, you know, the Wheel of Wealth sounded like maybe a gimmick, maybe a marketing ploy. But then I realized when I was doing it, actually, this is what it's all about. So, you know, I'm pleased with the acknowledgement that she's followed it well. It's working. And same is true with Gary, you know. So although Gary's done three different things, you know, he kind of increased capacity, increased and enhanced the experience of others, and he made lots of collaborations. Interestingly, it was quite fascinating. He said he was talking to local authorities, and because the people who were in offices weren't talking to anybody, they couldn't wait to share time with him. And that's a very interesting insight, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said about, you know, maximizing the income generation from his existing assets. And I think pretty much between the two of them, they've covered all seven pillars almost. Certainly Louise talked about joint ventures, which has led to IP with the book and tapping into home capacity, property, pensions, investments. Gary talking, you know, about business there and capacity. So, you know, it really shows. And Louise said it herself that she has 100% more confidence now than when she started the program. And that's what having recurring income coming in from multiple pillars gives you, isn't it, Kevin?
Well, that's right. I mean, if you think about it, if these people were not confident, if they were, you know, entering into this unprecedented times in a state of disarray, lacking confidence, lacking conviction, they knew that wealth building is a permanent game. It's not a temporary thing. You know, if you look at Gary, he increased the capacity, right? Think about what he did. He spent money on a derelict building to bring it into life, you know, and including restoring it in a way that had real longevity, you know, and commensurate with the history of the building as well, with the lime and the mortar and all those things. He brought in a sort of a broadband experience to make sure that, you know, everybody who came to his properties or his site, you know, had a real access to technology. And more on that in a minute, Chris. And thirdly, he talked about seeing that there were other people in the locality where there was collaborations that could be done. And I remember chatting to him and his wife, Jane, and, you know, they got these shepherd's huts and other things. And I said, you know, people love a romantic experience. And, you know, why don't you tap into some of the nice restaurants that are not opening their doors as much, but do some brilliant takeaways. You can almost have a Michelin star date night, you know, sleeping under the stars almost. And, you know, they take all these ideas and, you know, starting to bring them to life. But the one I like more than any was Gary saying, you know, by having this tremendous Wi-Fi experience, he's almost created a new market. Nobody ever thought of this, which is, why would you work from home if you're kind of stuck in the same four walls going stir crazy when you can come and do your work to the same high level, having access to all the technology, but looking out over the sea? I mean, isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, it's absolutely a new trend that we will see now. And we all say you have to look at where you can add value. And certainly that is what Gary did right at the beginning, is just looking at, as we said, what assets he already has and how can he add value. And he's done that in a remarkable way.
Yeah, I mean, both of them, if you think about it, have come out stronger than they were before, you know. So not that, you know, anybody wants to take advantage of these times, but no, what that they've done though is chosen to proactively do something instead of just react and clam up in a shell, you know. So I'm very proud of what they've done. And the other thing that they both did, and it seems to come up a lot, Chris, so it's probably worth mentioning again, is they both participated in Pillar 2, which is the pension, and brought their pensions to life, you know, through the vehicle we know as SAS, the small self-administered scheme, a director's pension. It's a pension that people can use to get into the process of getting control of that money and using it for their businesses and for their property and for their wealth building journey. So I think it would be good if people have heard this subject a few times, Chris, if we could post the link maybe to a video where, you know, I'm talking about the power of that. I think I did a decent interview on Sky TV a couple of years ago. Maybe we could post a link to that, Chris?
Sure. Yeah, we have a page where we have that video plus another really informative video. A link underneath if anyone's interested then in finding out if SAS could be right for them. So that's on wealthbuilders.co.uk/SAS videos, and that's SSAS videos.
Is that videos plural?
Videos plural.
Got it. All right. Well, that'd be interesting. It'd be definitely something that I think is worth exploring if you have got old pensions, part of your old life, and you've got a business now, or you're a budding entrepreneur and you want to be building wealth for yourself. Obviously, that applies to listeners in the UK only, but by all means, tune in, you know, wherever you're from.
Yeah. So to summarize on everything that we've heard today from Gary and from Louise, it really fits within our framework that we teach in our 7 Steps to Wealth program, Kevin, which phase one is all about building confidence. It's about understanding what your objective is, what your catalyst, your reason why, because that will drive you through these tough times when they come along. And we know there'll be more tough times in the future. Mm-hmm. And then stage two is all about the knowledge. It's understanding the pillars and understanding where your leverage is coming from and which strategy that you're going to focus on. And then that third phase is turning the wheel, focusing on one wheel at a time, as Louise said, and then generating recurring income, and then reviewing, repeating the process, and turning multiple wheels. And that's how you go from financial insecurity through to security, and then on to independence.
Wow, Chris, you're almost speaking as if you know the subject.
Well, we've done a few of these podcasts now. It's definitely rubbing off.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I love the way you framed that, actually. You know, there's almost three distinct stages of transformation of self, education, then transformation of putting that education and new confidence into action by turning the wheels. And it was good of Louise to sort of, you know, say that she had to slow herself down from trying to turn too many wheels at the same time and therefore not turning them fully. So definitely, if you're curious, listen to that previous episode about the Wheel of Wealth. It's stage three in our process and key to everything, really.
Yeah. And of course, join the Wealth Builders Facebook community if you're not already a member. And then you can connect with Louise, with Gary, hundreds, thousands in that group, actually, now, who are all different stages of their journey building wealth across multiple pillars. So it's a really good place to network and connect and get inspired by others. And you can join that group. Just go to Facebook, search for Wealth Builders Community, and we'd love to have you in there.
Yeah, one final point from me, Chris. You know, in the time of collaborating, which is what Gary did really well, is if you're enjoying the podcast, please tell one other person, just one, and just say, hey, have a listen to this. It's quite interesting, you know, two guys rambling on, but nonetheless, somewhere it's making sense. That's going to help you turn a life of insecurity into a life of certainty. And that's what we're proud to do. So give the gift. Nudge somebody, let them know about the podcast if you like it. If you don't, keep it to yourself.
Yeah. And final reminder, I guess, that we'll be opening up the 7 Steps to Wealth program again at the end of September. So if you've been listening, if you're curious, if you are ready to start actually putting some of what we've been talking about into practice, and with the support of myself, Kevin, and coaches and all the rest of the community, then stay tuned. We'll be giving you more details later on in the month about that.
Yeah. So lots to look forward to, Chris.
Good stuff. Thanks again, Kevin. Enjoyed that one today.
Yeah, me too. Until the next time on Wealth Talk. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.